Welcome to this Craft Contemporary audio tour. This tour is designed to be used in our third floor gallery and will explore the exhibition Many. You can take the elevator or use the stairs to reach the exhibition. Please pause the tour at any point if you need time to move around the space and to find artworks being discussed. Third floor exhibition, Many. Curated by Holly Jerger. We will start at the entrance to the third floor gallery space and will move clockwise as we explore selected works on view. This exhibition is titled Many and is presented in conjunction with the Many More Print Exchange portfolio downstairs in the lobby. Many features 12 Los Angeles-based artists who utilize multiples in their practice. There are two- and three-dimensional works using a variety of materials and processes including printing, casting, repetition, and accumulation. And there are works hung on the walls, on the floor, and hung from the ceiling in the center of the gallery. The exhibition highlights the unique power of multiples to record and disseminate information, amplify narratives, and investigate various modes of labor and production. Within the context of global capitalism and mass modes of production, many of these artists use the idea of repetition to create meaning in their own way, using a slower and more deliberate form of making, which is inherent in many craft practices. For example, have you ever weaved, knitted, crocheted, or sewn? All of these crafts involve a steady sense of repeated motion and labor. These artists make visible the people and work that capitalism, which values products over their makers, tries to hide. Their works also recognize the many people and forms of physical and intellectual labor that built the United States and continue to fuel its economic and cultural production. As a viewer, you can contribute your own labor to this exhibition. The artist's lush, layered pieces offer opportunities for long looking and contemplation. You can take in the organization and patterns of the whole, or peer closely to see subtle variations in color and texture. You might consider the skill and energy each artist put into constructing their pieces, and how those efforts echo in the narratives they are sharing. Ultimately, we hope you will take the time to think about each artist's work in a large and indefinite number of ways. Sarge Issa. We will start at the first work hung on the wall to the left as we enter the space by artist Sarge Issa. Look for four artworks of different sizes made from ceramic tiles meticulously hand-painted. The patterns on each tile are inspired by both Middle Eastern architecture and corporate American logos, such as the Nike tick and the Shell gas symbol. The tiles are adhered to a wooden panel with a wooden frame. Issa is a Palestinian-American artist who grew up between Palestine and the Midwest. She creates works that merge aesthetics of these contrasting parts of her identity into familiar domestic objects and settings. She visited a prominent Turkish ceramic tile workshop where she learned many of the techniques used to create these patterns. In her earlier pieces, to the right, Issa created designs by combining architectural iconography from mosques with corporate logos as a reflection of a fetishization of brands and consumption. Let's focus on the largest work, to the left, titled The Ablution of Faith and Frustration. The work is rectangular in shape and hung landscape orientation. The square tiles are side by side in rows, and there are four down and eight across. Each tile was painted with the same repeated radial design, with a dark blue eight-point star in the center, surrounded by four shapes which look almost like a tilted hourglass, with a detailed black and pale turquoise pattern within each of them. Each shape is outlined with a white band, creating a dynamic, geometric, and symmetrical design. To the right side of the artwork, we see that the delicate glaze work on the tiles have been physically scrubbed off, leaving a misty, cloud-like form where we can just see the remnants of the pattern below. Issa created this work to symbolize the Islamic practice of physically cleansing oneself as a metaphor for cleansing one's sins and bodily actions. She demonstrates the frustration and endurance that one builds when engaging in labors of prayer and worship. Alvaro de Marquez. Moving clockwise to the right, look for a large site-specific and multimedia installation, which is roughly 12 feet wide by 9 feet tall. It includes a black and white design painted on the wall, which looks something like a map made of geometric shapes. The work is by artist Alvaro de Marquez and is titled Private Geometries. Placed on the painted wall are several laser-cut wood pieces, painted and shaped to look like a key, a traditional house of the indigenous Tongva people, and a tent, a shelter for the houseless. Orange dots and taut pieces of yarn attached to the wall create lines connecting the wood pieces, acting like roads and symbols on a map. On the floor directly below, there is a rectangular low plinth on which Marquez has placed small jars of soil from their hometown, nestled on a blanket of the same soil. Each jar has a sales tag around it, which is a small stamped image and text that reads, 100% California soil, unit price $1,848. Manifest your destiny. There are two alternating printed images on the labels. One is an old-fashioned wooden carriage, and the other is a large wooden ship with sails. Both are modes of transportation used during the territorial expansion in the United States in the 19th century. Marquez is a multimedia artist who uses the tools and vocabulary of printmaking, such as repetition, the aesthetics of protest, and techniques of dissemination, to make their work. The installation charts the displacement of people in Southern California over time, as their homes and resources are stripped away by capitalist institutions. The artist says, "My interdisciplinary art practice interrogates the long history of displacement in the Americas, starting with the indigenous dispossession and genocide to current issues around gentrification, eviction, and homelessness. At its root, however, it is a critical reflection on the commodification of land as private property and the issues that arise out of this. I articulate these subjects through printmaking, installation, and sculpture to outline the contested use of space and the ways that social and political policies have shaped our contemporary urban environment." Sula Bermudez-Silverman. Moving clockwise to the right, look for three rectangular sculptures made by Sula Bermudez-Silverman. Each work is made from colored resin and hung on the wall in a horizontal line. Each sculpture takes the form and scale of the front of a doll's house, representing colonial architectural design. Each house is fairly symmetrical and similar in shape, with two floors and two windows on each floor. The ground floor has a porch area shaded by a small roof and ornate balustrades containing the space. Each house front is lit from within, creating a light box-like glow which filters through the resin material. Each house is a different color, caused by materials infused in the resin. The first house has the pink glow of Himalayan salt. The middle house has a dark moss-green texture created with parsley. And the last one has the red-orange glow of paprika. Each house differs in slight details, specifically in and around the windows, where we see uncanny objects and images, often representing disturbing scenes or animals and insects. Amongst the textured parsley leaves in the centre sculpture, which almost appears as if they have overgrown the dollhouse, we see a preserved butterfly highlighted by the glow of the light within. In the top left window, we see an image of an unknown figure peering out. Just below on the porch roof, there is an abandoned pair of pink miniature shoes, leaving us to question, who might they belong to? Where are they now? And what happened to make them leave their shoes behind? Bermudez Silverman works across a broad range of materials and processes to investigate the legacy of colonialism. All bodies of her work involve heavy experimentation with materials, which can include spices, salt, sugar, and other materials with deep colonial histories. She also infuses references to the horror movie genre, which often question the thin line between victims and perpetrators. These surreal dollhouses reinforce how a colonialist legacy is embedded in everyday comforts, while also fueling fear and societal divisions around race, gender, and class. The artist explains, "What's so interesting to me about dolls' houses is that actually they were intended for adults, so they were originally off-limits to children. They were called baby houses and were for an incredibly privileged minority because they cost as much as a regular-sized house and were used to show off wealth. There's also a shift in the gender-oriented organization of the dolls' houses. They were first a male-oriented object, but then they became this female model of domesticity and a pedagogical tool for little girls to learn how to run a household." Narciso Martinez. Move clockwise and look for a series of 12 artworks hung at eye level in a line along this wall, titled Sin Bandana by artist Narciso Martinez. The artworks are presented in the form of rectangular cardboard produce boxes of varying sizes with their bases hung against the wall. Inside each box, there is a golden glow caused by a gold leaf adhered to the back side of each container. This shimmering glow is the backdrop to a portrait of a different person in each box. The portraits are headshot style, drawn directly onto the cardboard using black and white charcoal and ink. The colour of the cardboard acts as the midtones of each person's face. The people depicted are all wearing casual clothes or clothes associated with work outdoors, such as baseball caps and hooded sweatshirts that would protect one from the sun and elements. The gold leaf surrounds each face with a halo of sorts, similar to what we see in religious iconography. The outside of each box shows traces of what it previously contained. Green and red text reading, "Driscoll's, only the finest berries," and "Organic strawberries." Working from photographs, Martinez draws portraits that address the human and environmental costs of the agricultural industry, in which he worked as a labourer for many years. In this series, Martinez depicts the workers without masks, glasses, or other protective equipment for the first time. The absence of masks represents the workers coming out from the shadows regardless of their circumstances or immigration status, and being fully seen. The use of gold was inspired by the artist's uncle who did paintings in a Oaxacan church in Mexico. The gold is symbolic of wealth, religious iconography, and the brightness of the sun. The artist said, "I grew up in an agricultural environment, and I've been connected to the field since I was a kid. Influenced by masters such as Millet, Van Gogh, and Sicaro, I attempted to start a dialogue with the food industry by contrasting the agribusiness with its labourers. The majority of the farm workers live in an economic struggle every day to sustain their families and to provide them with the basics. Meanwhile, the plantations keep multiplying, and the owners are provided with a life of luxury and unnecessary commodities. John Birtle and Stephanie Mercado. Moving clockwise, to the right of the small partition wall, we are in a section of the gallery where we can find two artists who utilize rubber stamps and ink to create dynamic works. Stephanie Mercado's floral bouquets are displayed on the long wall to the right, and John Birtle's monochromatic works to the left. Mercado creates these brightly coloured relief prints by individually carving rubber stamps and then hand printing, incising, and collaging them together. The Flourish series began as a bouquet of paper flowers being held by a vessel, with figures, who appear as maids, pushing each other forward around the phase in a Sisyphean manner. The bouquets transformed from flowers to household items, with an explosion of maids blossoming, growing, and prospering from the vessel. To create each stamp, Mercado sources imagery online or from books and uses her inventory of printed images to create unexpected and continually evolving narratives that link to feminist and Mesoamerican history and address the relationship between women and labor. The artist says, "The maids tell a story about power, class, and human relationships. They explore themes of subjugation and the nuances by which people try to maintain their identity, dignity, and independence. Each figure is caught in a place between reality and a world that is deformed and shaped by the people who control their environment and their livelihood." In addition to her series about maids, Mercado has also explored other popular female tropes, such as witches, and often incorporates vessels which can be stand-ins for domesticity and the female body in much of art history. Turning to the left, we will now focus on the largest of John Birtle's ink-on-paper pieces, titled "There Is So Much," and that is so with 11 O's. A description which perfectly describes the works on view here. The piece is roughly 3 feet tall by 7 feet wide, hung in landscape orientation. It is monochromatic, dense in composition, and represents a scene with a lot of detail. This surreal image is made using hundreds of rubber stamps and red ink on white paper. The scene has two large multi-story brick buildings on each side of the paper, with a vast stretch of vegetation and activity in between. The buildings have several windows, each with a figure-shaped stamp peering out at us as if we are voyeurs in a surreal urban environment. In between the buildings, repeated arched rainbow-shaped stamps create the effect of uneven ground or waves. Amongst the curved arches, there are uncanny and playful pairings of stamps, and the artist has created the illusion of perspective by experimenting with scale and layering. In the foreground, a ballerina silhouette balances on top of a tilted lighthouse. A small deep-sea diver with snorkel gear and bubbles is trapped inside a large bottle. A fish leaps up with its mouth open as if to devour a nearby toothbrush. A seahorse caresses and nuzzles up next to a giant hot dog, while a tiny caterpillar crawls along the frame of a giant pair of glasses. The sky in this cityscape is less dense, creating a lighter area of the paper, and is filled with different types of sun, snowflake, and firework-shaped stamps. Overall, the scene has the feel of a post-apocalyptic city from another universe. Birtle's creative practice is highly multidisciplinary and continually experimental. Their great interest in accumulation led them to make works on paper with rubber stamps. This body of work began 7 years ago and grew from a period when they were creating drawings and postcards using repeated imagery. They have gathered a massive collection of stamps from crafting shops, second-hand stores, Craigslist, and eBay. Through the process, they have learned that smaller, local, more unique stamp shops have been replaced by large corporations which dominate the market with general copyrighted imagery. Bertel uses mostly monochromatic stamping to highlight the diversity of stamp imagery. Their point of departure is the imagery produced by the stamp makers, which Bertel repeats and recombines to build fantastical lands and urbanscapes. Sometimes the layering of stamping accumulates so heavily the resulting drawings resemble abstract textures or patterns. Bertel's process of mark making, in which the basic image used are entirely designed by other people, act as a counterpoint to the idea's originality and authorship valued by the art world. Ariana Minayi. Again, moving clockwise to the right, we will step into the smaller partitioned space of the gallery. There are several works in this space, but we are going to focus on five textured reliefs made from paper pulp along the long wall by artist Ariana Minayi. Each work is rectangular, hung in portrait orientation, and is approximately 8 feet tall by 4 feet wide. The works tower over us and feel architectural in scale. They include patterned designs and are each a variety of colours and tones, some warmer and some cooler. Let's focus on the first of the rectangular relief panels on the left, titled Dream Gate 1. We can see a range of blended coloured paper pulp in blues, greens and turquoise. A line of rounded X-shape motifs form a T-shape in the middle of the panel, and they are raised up above the paper pulp surface, which is covered in ridges, created by the artist's fingerprints. We can see diagonal lines of flat, rectangular shapes created by bricks, which the artist laid on the wet paper pulp. They divide the panel into diamond-shaped and triangular sections. In the bottom quarter of the panel, we can see an ornate architectural design imprinted into the deep blue paper pulp. Central to Minayi's practice is her lived experience as an Iranian American. The architectural quality of the work represents the artist's desire to preserve the memories buildings hold and create the comfort and safety of a home, especially when one is living in a diaspora. Minayi uses entirely salvaged materials to create these paper pulp works, and the process is incredibly labor-intensive. Her paper comes from friends, found packing materials, childhood books, and old mail she has gathered while moving out of her family home. Her tools for embossing are bricks and metalwork she has collected from building sites and discarded textile printing woodblocks a friend transports to her from Iran. The works record the residue of physical and emotional actions. She pulps small batches of paper in assorted colours, which she pours multiple times to make a piece. She must complete each piece in one sitting, or the paper will dry out and would not adhere together. The process is a full body workout requiring her to move continuously while she pulps, pours, and uses her fingers to bind paper batches together. She then lays her found objects on the wet piece to create heavily embossed textures as the pulp dries out. Her practice highlights the meaning embedded in salvaged materials and the marks her body leaves behind. The artist said, "Teaching, sharing, and patience are the labours all immigrants carry in their bodies." Zeyna Baltaji. Moving back into the main gallery space, look for two hanging sculptural artworks by Zeyna Baltaji in the centre of the gallery. We are going to focus on the work closest to the entrance of the gallery, titled A Penny for Your Thoughts, Balancing Act for Two People. There is a mobile-like copper-coloured structure suspending two sculpted heads with brass chains which wrap around them in a style reminiscent of bondage. The heads both face away from us and are positioned one in front of the other as if two invisible bodies are walking in a line. The heads are joined by an elaborate headdress made from several thousand copper pennies linked together with chainmail. The pennies sit atop both heads like a cap and are connected by a thin but heavy veil made from coins. Baltaji is a first-generation Lebanese-American artist and educator who assembles thousands of pennies to create heavy chainmail-like sculptures. The artist and her collaborators have worn these pieces as part of performance works that critique gendered roles and embody the weight of capitalism and the American middle-class dream. Baltaji's newest work, Token Bitch, is a pressed penny machine located to the left of the entrance of the gallery, similar to the ones often found at tourist sites around the United States. For $1, Craft Contemporary visitors are invited to insert a penny and crank the machine handle, which will smash an original image of the artist into the face of the penny. You can choose from several designs depicting Baltaji sporting a keffiyeh scarf and cowboy hat in poses riffing on romanticized images of manifest destiny. Hence, the participant's labour is joined with the artist to create one of a multi-printed series. It was important for Baltaji to realise her penny machine for this exhibition, as the penny is about to be decommissioned since its production costs now exceed its value. This audio tour has been narrated by Billy Ray Vinson, Director of School and Family Programs at Craft Contemporary. Find other audio tours on our website at craftcontemporary.org. Thank you for listening.